This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit goldenoaklending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Kiss me, baby. I'm not Irish.
You're not wearing green either.
Yes, I am.
I missed it. I'm sorry. Hand up.
It's a Lucky with a Shamrock t-shirt underneath.
The big reveal.
Ah. And with that, we welcome you aboard to this fandangled mess of a radio program. Good to have you with us on this St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th, year of our Lord, 2025. You've already heard from Mad Max back from Dunedin, Florida. The express jet will take off at about 4:30 this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So he could, do whatever Max Scherzer does to collect another paycheck.
Throwing gas.
Yeah, exactly. And criticizing umpires, or actually defending umpires, I guess we heard, before the show. Wow, what a weekend. Lots to discuss, lots to get into. Jim Bowden, the former Nationals executive, long time ago, and long time Major League Baseball analyst, Sirius XM and The Athletic, will join us at 3:15. He was at Nationals camp late last week for Sirius XM, and I listened to the podcast yesterday as I was doing some show prep and bumping around. So we will ask him what he thinks about the Nationals. He threw out a specific number of wins. So Jim Bowden will join us in the 3 o'clock hour, scheduled to join us, I should say, at 3:15 or so. Alex Ovechkin,
he did
scored
it.
Another goal.
Yet again.
Crazy eights are on the board.
Ah, right, 8 to go.
I like that. You're wearing your number 8 hat.
Shout out MedStar, Capitals Iceplex.
There you go.
All the exclusive gear.
Oh, is that from the new line?
So when they put out the cherry blossom jerseys, they put out a whole bunch of merch. And then just this weekend, I saw they put out a like cherry blossom Screamin' Eagle hat.
Uh-huh.
And anything with the Screamin' Eagle logo,
yeah.
I have to spend my money on. So right next to it was this hat, which has a big 8 and then the little Screamin' Eagle on the side. And yeah, that it was slightly more expensive, but I was like, oh, what the hell? I'm here.
I like it.
So
the Screaming Eagle's on your right side.
Yes,
which I can't see because
I'll turn the
our situation. That's okay. I trust you. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. I like that. So I will tell you this before we get into the NCAA tournament. I am the anti-Toby Altizer. Our friend and colleague on usually on the other side, but. Mm-hmm. And hobnobbing with Grant and Danny on,
G&D Zone, yes.
Down in West Palm Beach and having fun on vacation.
Gallivanting, some may say, around
West Palm. Doing all sorts of things, ringing up expensive steak dinners and all that stuff. Tobes is a Jersey whore.
He,
he is an animal when it comes to collecting jerseys. Loves it, loves it, loves it. It is his thing. Right?
It's great. I love it.
Coffee is my thing.
Yes.
Diet cheap soda is my thing. Screaming Eagles and whatnot is your thing. And spending probably too much
far
on
too much on vintage Caps merch
and flying back and forth to Dunedin, Florida for no reason.
The bank account runs dry.
For another paycheck is your thing. Tobes is a Jersey-aholic.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the reason why I'm getting here, I had never in my life owned a jersey of any sports team, of any kind, of any professional, of any player, of any sort, with the exception of my hockey jersey that my street and deck hockey team when I was like 12 years old. I had never owned a jersey in my life. Never. Not one.
Why is that?
No football, no baseball, no nothing. As a matter of fact, the only jersey I really ever had my hands on in any way, shape, or form was a 106.7 The Fan baseball jersey that CK gave me like 7 years ago. And it had like... I don't even remember what number it had. It was like either the 10 or the 6 and the 7. I forget how they did it. Anyway, bottom line is it was a 106.7 The Fan baseball jersey back when we had a promotions department. And so that was it until Christmas. And then your boy landed a Screaming Eagle black.
Yes.
Alex Ovechkin, number 8 jersey. Because I knew it was going to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? This is a special enough occasion. This is a momentous enough occasion where we've got to honor the great one. The great 8. I shouldn't say the great one. The great one is Wayne Gretzky. The great 8 is Alex Ovechkin. Sorry, I got my greats all mixed up. Too many greats. Got to honor him.
And
I've only worn it twice to 2 Caps games.
That's where you're supposed to.
Because I used to work the Caps games as a member of the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I might still do that in a little bit here as we get closer and closer.
You got to get in the building.
Exactly. But when I go as a fan, I can go as a fan, right? There's nothing illegal about that.
Of course not.
And I'm not a jersey hipster like Grant, who like would get a Taylor Radish jersey before he got an Alex Ovechkin jersey.
I respect it in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Okay.
I like depth.
All right.
It's a good pull.
All right.
You get a Brandon Duhaime, with me.
Yeah, it's fine. And then they get traded the next day.
Then you commemorate their time here.
Yeah, exactly. Ask him how his Matt Hendricks jersey is doing. who was the tough guy last year that got traded to Buffalo? Crap, I forgot his name. I kind of liked him, too.
Joel Edmondson?
No,
I'm thinking of a different guy.
I can't remember his name already. That's how bad my memory is. My memory is just not equipped for this job anymore. It's just so hard to remember everything. There's just so much going on. Anyway, the point being is I did get my first ever professional sports jersey of any sort, of any kind, an Alex Ovechkin Screaming Eagles black number 8.
You made the right call.
I thought, I am not a jersey guy at all. I'm not a colors guy. I don't get into the things that you all get into. God bless you. You do you. I'll do me. But I've always loved the Screaming Eagles.
It's, dare I say, their best logo?
Yeah. I've always loved the Screaming Eagle jersey. I've always.
There was one time, during the I was at a Caps game, and Ted Leonsis was walking around. This was during the sale of the Commanders. I did yell at him because I had had a few drinks to buy the Commanders. I'm filled with regret at that statement because I really should have asked him to make the Screaming Eagle the permanent logo of this team, at least for this era.
Do you think that would go over? Because
Fans love it.
I wasn't aware that it was as popular as it was.
I didn't think
it was liked because it was associated with such a bad era. But
it's a hard logo.
Pleasantly surprised by the excitement and the reception over, and even Ovi loves it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's what really puts it over is that
he loves it
so much.
We will get to Alex Ovechkin's goal over the weekend, part of a big win in San Jose for the Capitals, who come home tomorrow night. We'll touch on all of that later on. We'll touch on Jim Bowden. We'll have Jim Bowden, I should say, from his visit to Nats camp and everything in between. Another big win for the Wizards. We last left you on Friday. They had beaten Detroit on the road as part of the two-game back-to-back tango in Toronto and then Detroit. And they had suffered a big injury with Bilal Coulibaly. And yet all they've done is go out and beat Detroit and Denver on the road without Bilal Coulibaly. And Alex Saar and Keyshawn George and Bub Carrington are growing up right before our eyes, boys and girls. The little bambinos are turning into young grown men, winning games, much to the dismay of the cesspool of Twitter and X and Brendan Darinomics. Much to the dismay of all the analytics amigos. Screw them, I say. Win. Win as many games as you can. I love it. All right. So you have that. That's just kind of the appetizers. Obviously, you have the NCAA tournament. And what we're going to do on today's show is what we started last year. I just heard Kevin and D-Day kind of figuring out like how they were going to fill out their brackets. As you know, I don't take the NCAA tournament as seriously as some of you do, and I would say many of you, but I don't think many of you do. I think it's much more about office secretaries and balding 49-year-old sales guys. Filling out a bracket, getting lucky, and hoping that they win a bunch of money and giving them a reason to root and watch some games. Nobody knows anything about any of these teams. Let's start there. Except you know Cooper Flagg, who, if you listen to this show, you often call Cooper Kupp. Okay? But whatever. You might know that the Crab Five is the Maryland starting five. You might know that. But nobody knows anything about, like, people are all of a sudden walking around going, yeah, High Point, High Point, High Point, High Point. They don't even know where High Point is. They don't even know. But anyway, I digress. But what we're going to do on today's show is something we started last year. Now, Mad Max, you weren't a part of this last year, so I'm going to have to indoctrinate you into how this works. Because my theory is, and I believe some of what we saw last night with the bracket and who got in, who didn't get in, no West Virginia,
no Indiana.
Well, George Mason, when they lost the A-10, I mean, I didn't think they were going to get in. I mean,
still a 27-win team.
Yeah. Outside chance, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like...
Listen, my Rams made it. That's all I care about.
I understand that, and congratulations.
Thank you.
They had George Mason's number this year, and late in the year, too.
It was close. It was a great game.
But I took a nap.
I
recorded it. I recorded the game, and then I never went back and watched it because there were so many other things on television that I couldn't get back to the game. Anyway, long and the short of it is, what we're going to have is everybody that calls in is going to pick two random games off of the bracket that I'm going to give you live on the air.
Ooh.
You're not going to get to choose these games.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the seed. I'm going to give you the matchup. I'm going to give you the regional.
All right.
And you're going to pick two winners. Not against the spread. Two winners. And we are going to fill out this show's bracket to prove one thing and one thing alone. That the NCAA tournament is a complete random jambalaya of sports that nobody knows anything about except for Andy Katz and John Rothstein and Clark Kellogg. And they're going to tell you all that they know and all that you think you know. And all of a sudden, some of you are going to say, yeah, man, I love Marquette. Well, yeah, I've heard of the coach there. I don't know any of the players. I don't know their nickname. I don't know where Marquette is. But I love Marquette. Marquette's my team. So anyway, we're going to have you pick two games, we're going to fill out the bracket over the next 3 days.
We're doing first four as well, right?
Sure.
Might
Absolutely.
As well.
Why not?
Part of the 68?
Why not, right? We should include them. American?
Yes.
Who we talked about last week. American is in that first four against another regional team, Mount St. Mary's.
That's right.
That's on Wednesday night at 6:40 from Dayton, Ohio, along with Texas Xavier, San Diego State, North Carolina, a team that a lot of people had a lot of problems getting in, Alabama State, and St. Francis, another team that didn't deserve to be in. But we are going to have you pick two games. I mean, listen, we should, even if you call back, and some of you call every day, which I appreciate the patronage and the loyalty. Sometimes I don't want to hear from you every day. But you know, we will fill out the bracket over the next 3 days is how we will do this. And the overall arching point is we will then enter the final bracket into, I'll do the ESPN college bracket challenge, whatever, men's bracket challenge, just because I'm registered there and I have an account, whatever, and it's easy.
I forget my login every year. That's the process we have
to
get started.
Yeah, I stay logged in because of the ESPN Plus and all that stuff. But anyway, I will log in the bracket or enter in the bracket, and then we will track how this show does at complete random, right? Because, again, the NCAA tournament, I had this argument over the weekend with my guy Brendan Dar, former producer of the Kevin Sheehan Show. He loves college basketball. I don't. I said after the Maryland loss on Saturday that loss didn't really hurt them. It didn't really matter. Now, ultimately, I may have been wrong. I don't know if they would have been sent to Seattle if they had won Saturday. Maybe they would have. Maybe they wouldn't have. We don't know. Maybe if they had won Saturday and they had the lead with, what, 5 seconds left before a Tyus Edney-type point guard run distribution right down the middle of the lane layup and in at the buzzer. Maybe, if they would have beaten Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship yesterday and had beaten Michigan on Saturday, I think they either would have been a 3 seed, probably, or they wouldn't have been in Seattle at the very minimum. But here we are. They're the 4 seed, and they're in Seattle. And quite honestly, I can't sit here and say, oh, man, they got screwed. I mean, they kind of screwed themselves. They got out-rebounded by 30!
It was rough.
Don't anybody blame the tournament committee when You lost a game by 1 point, and you got out-rebounded by 30 rebounds. So anyway, long and the short of it is, for anybody that thinks they got screwed, they screwed themselves. And again, maybe if they won Saturday and then lost to Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship, a game that was a dreadful, dreadful ending. Dreadful. Impossible to watch. Maybe they would have been not in Seattle. Maybe they would have been in, I don't know, if they were a four seed, maybe they would have wound up in Denver, which is closer than Seattle. If they were a four seed, let's put it this way. Both a four seed from the East and a four seed from the West, which is Maryland's bracket, wound up playing in Seattle because of the way they do the pod system and whatever. But Arizona is that other four seed, and they're in Seattle as well. But they're a lot closer to Seattle. So Maryland kind of screwed themselves by losing the game Saturday, not being in the Big Ten championship game, and then on top of that, not getting a three seed, but also being stuck playing in Seattle instead of playing in a closer pod or a closer region, i.e., Lexington, Providence, Cleveland, wherever, Raleigh. They could have been anywhere. But there's no rhyme or reason to it, right? So who knows? Who knows why? Other than we can all deduce because they lost in the Big Ten semifinal. That's why they're a four seed instead of a three seed. That part is easy. But why they got stuck in Seattle, I don't know. Other than, you know, they were probably looked at as the least leveraged four seed, I would assume. I haven't done all the math. I've got all the rankings in front of me, which we'll go over in just a wee little bit. But the bottom line is Maryland draws what some people are calling a tough matchup with Grand Canyon, even though they know nothing about Grand Canyon. They're just going to call it a tough matchup with Grand Canyon. And then they wind up in Seattle. I mean, you can't send them any further. You might as well have sent them to
Honolulu.
Alaska.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. All right. That's our opening salvo, our opening thoughts. If you want to hop in, if you want to start picking games, help us help you fill out our bracket. We'll do it over the next 3 days completely at random because that's what the NCAA tournament is. The seeds don't make sense. The regions don't make sense. The pods don't make sense. It doesn't matter what seed you are. That's been proven time and time again over the last couple years. You think it matters to St. Peter's? No. You think it matters to San Diego State? No. You think it mattered to who made the run last year? I forget already. Somebody small made a big run last year. You get the point. On the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're running a bit behind here, so we'll get back on track. But I just want to offer a quick thought. You hear so much about the net rankings and the quad one wins and the quad two wins and all that stuff, and nobody knows what any of that means. They just talk about it like everybody's an expert, right? So I did some research last night, Mad Max. The quad one wins are like home wins against top 30 teams, but that's a rotating thing because if a team doesn't finish in the top 30 of the net rankings, it doesn't count as a quad win anymore. But if they do, they do, even if it wasn't that way when you play them. I mean, it's this whole rigmarole of just randomness and just whatever. Number one. Number two. I looked on the net rankings on the NCAA website, so they weren't influenced by anybody else. It's the official men's basketball net rankings updated as of today. You know who the number one seed in the overall NCAA tournament is, right? Auburn. Even though they don't deserve it. The number one team in the net rankings is Duke. Auburn number two. Then, I mentioned Maryland as a four seed, which I don't think anybody has a major issue with after they fell short in the Big Ten semifinal, right? I don't think anybody's like, oh my God, Maryland's so underseeded or whatever. But they did get embargoed to Seattle. Embargoed is a strong word. They did get sent to Seattle. Seattle's a great city. It's a long trip. On a short week, and time zone change and all that stuff, right? Climate change, all that crap. So I thought, well, maybe it's because Maryland was the worst of the number four seeds. The other number four seeds are Texas A&M, Arizona, who we mentioned, who is in Seattle. Okay. Now, they're in the East. Maryland's in the West region, but again, they mix up the regions, and they try and geographically align it as much as they can. So Arizona as a four seed and Maryland as a four seed are both playing in Seattle on Friday and maybe Sunday. The other four seed is Purdue. They play Thursday and Saturday in Providence, or Thursday at least, maybe Saturday in Providence, and Texas A&M plays Thursday and maybe Saturday in Denver, right? So much more geographically aligned. So Maryland is the furthest four seed from home by far. And then I started to look. I said, well, wait a second. Why was that? What am I missing here? So I looked at the men's basketball official NCAA net rankings, right? Which breaks down the quad one wins, the quad two, quad three, quad four, the record, the road, the neutral, the WAB, whatever the hell that is. And again, you already have Auburn, the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, when they're number two here and Duke's number one in the net rankings, and they're not the number one seed. Okay. Then I look and I said, where's Arizona in the net rankings? And I see that they're 12th. Then I looked and I said, where's Purdue in the overall net rankings? And I see they're 19th. Then I looked and I said, where's Texas A&M in the overall net rankings? They're 18th. So count it with me, boys and girls. Purdue 19, Texas A&M 18, and Arizona 12 in the official net rankings. Maryland is number 10 in the official net rankings. They are the highest four seed in the official net rankings of the NCAA. And yet, they are the way furthest from home. Weird, right? You would think, like, okay, somebody's got to go somewhere. We can do a better job and figure this out. Whoever's the worst of the four seeds, in this case Purdue, shouldn't get to play in Providence, Rhode Island. Right? That should be Maryland. And instead, Maryland is playing in Seattle. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Let's do a trending alert, and then we will come back. And we will start knocking down your calls at 301-230-0980. Did Maryland get screwed, as I just outlined? Do you understand how they go about filling out the field? Because I don't think there's anybody that truly understands what the most important criteria is, because the criteria is a moving target. That's why I say it's a complete random tournament. It's just whatever they feel like in that boardroom. And then they had a sergeant at arms next to the North Carolina athletic director because they knew he would be taking on bullets yesterday on CBS. All right, let's get to it on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Mad Max, the Commanders, introducing Laramie Tunsil to the media within the last half an hour or so.
Yeah, from his front porch.
Yeah. Oh, is that where he did it?
Yeah, that's what it looked like, yeah.
Okay, I didn't see the video. I'll have to go check that out. I did see one interesting comment, though. He's not mad at the Houston Texans, or so he says. Says it's a young man's game. They were told they wanted to go young. And, you know, it's hard to blame them. When you suck already.
True.
I mean, if you're going to gut most of the line, which they did, and mm-hmm. for good reason, they cut Shaq Mason. They traded Kenyon Green to the Eagles. They had another Green. I forgot his first name, but it was something Kendall Green. They traded him. All right, they lost him in free agency to Buffalo. So they are changing over a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know.
And they just paid Derek Stingley
a load
of money.
Exactly. There you go. That was the story that I was also struggling to find because I had that on my list and I couldn't find it. So when I was doing the Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
Three for 90, I think it was.
I mean, Derek Stingley getting a lot of money. The only question about him when he came out was whether he'd be able to stay healthy. You know, and he didn't in his rookie year, but he did last year. And it helps when you have a tremendous pass rush.
Absolutely.
Right? Helps when you have a tremendous pass rush, which is kind of the rub of the Commanders, right? Trying to figure out, okay, what's more important? Is it corners on the back end? Is it in coverage? Is it pass rush? Is it run defense? Like the jigsaw puzzle of constructing a team in every sport, but especially in the NFL, is one of the great challenges, quite honestly. All right, so I threw out Maryland. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and cry over a 4 seed. I think that's fair. But I don't think it's fair for whatever it is worth. And some people think it's worth something, and some people think it's worth nothing, that they got screwed, essentially, by being sent to Seattle. They are the highest of the 4 seeds in terms of the net rankings, which I've been told, and I think you've been told, that is crucially important, right? The net rankings for college basketball. I went to the official NCAA net rankings, and immediately, at the top of the thing, Duke is number one and Auburn is number two, yet Auburn is the number one team in the tournament field. So obviously you see an immediate difference right there, right? Then on top of that, I said, okay, let me check out, just for craps and giggles, let me check out Maryland and where they rank and how they rank amongst the other 4 seeds. And much to my surprise, Arizona, Purdue, and Texas A&M are all 4 seeds, and they all rank lower than Maryland in terms of the net rankings amongst the 4 seeds. Maryland is number 10 overall in the net rankings. I told you Purdue is number 19. Texas A&M is number 18. And Arizona is number 12. Now, again, I'm not naive enough to go, well, they said this was the only thing that mattered. No. They've never said that. Because otherwise, everyone would know this is the only thing that matters. But it's not. And that's the abstract and unknown and random part of the NCAA tournament that I fight against is, like, there's no rhyme or reason sometimes to this. There's no way anybody could say legitimately North Carolina deserves to be in the NCAA tournament as opposed to West Virginia, as opposed to Indiana, and others have made other arguments. My guy Max said, hey, how about George Mason? George Mason lost in the final of the A-10. Should the A-10 be a one-bid conference?
No.
No. Probably not, right? But yet, Mason's not there. And I would presume if Mason had beaten VCU yesterday, VCU probably wouldn't be there. Maybe.
Should be a load of crap.
Because they were regular season co-champs, right? So
yeah.
You can't even say, well, VCU won the regular season outright and then lost by one or two or whatever in the conference. Yeah, and then on top of that, right, and this is just a bugaboo for me. I understand the whole Cinderella. I understand allowing everybody to dream big. I understand all of that. I get it. St. Francis is under 500. And yet, they're in the NCAA tournament. And a deserving team is not. That played against a much better schedule, that had much better wins. I mean, we could go through it all. Name your pick. West Virginia, Indiana, whoever else. Way better than St. Francis. No offense. I know it's a great story. I used to interview St. Francis's coach when I was in a young dude in this business. I forget the guy's name, a long time ago. I don't even know. I don't think he's still the coach. But my point being is I used to do some college basketball coverage, right? And it was centered around smaller schools because that's how they could get their ins, right? That's how they could get access. They weren't getting access at North Carolina. And at Duke, they were getting access through St. Francis, right? My point being is St. Francis, I think, again, their record was 16-17 overall. They won their conference tournament, and they're in. Great. Congratulations. Now, of course, they've got to play in the play-in game tomorrow night against Alabama State. I got it. So they're not technically in, but they're kind of in, right? I mean, they are. They're one of 68 teams, and yet they're 16-17.
They're the Red Flash?
Yeah.
Sounds like a euphemism for something.
I mean, they did win their last six games in a row, including, obviously, the games in their tournament. So you could say they're one of the hottest teams coming in. But honestly, who are we kidding here? I mean, if we're being real, everybody's screaming about North Carolina getting in.
Rightfully so.
Over West Virginia and over Indiana.
Your West Virginia's attorney general is launching an investigation.
Right. Well, they should. But but here's what I do want to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, everybody like all fired up about that. But nobody's fired up about St. Francis getting in at 16-17. That's just the way it goes. That's just the way it is. No, fix it. Get it better. It's 68 random teams, random seedings, random brackets, criteria that's not known, criteria that doesn't make sense, protocol that is shrouded in mystery. That's what it is. And nobody's got the balls to call them out for it. I do. Nobody's got the onions. Nobody's got the cojones to call out the hypocrisy. But I do. This show does, whether you like it or not. All right, let's go pick some games. And we can talk about anything you want in the tournament. You could talk about Chase, Jamar Chase and T. Higgins getting big mega deals. Really anything from the weekend. We're wide open for business. But we're going to ask you to pick two random games, starting with the play-in games tomorrow night and then moving on to Wednesday night. Let's get to, actually, you know what? I apologize. Got to take a quick timeout so that we don't get too terribly behind. Then we will get to a call before the top of the hour. Hang tight, guys. We're coming at you. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Today, I'm joined here with our Attorney General. He's the Chief Legal Officer for the state. And I've asked Attorney General McCuskey to launch an investigation into the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee to determine if any backyard deals, backroom deals, corruption, bribes, or any nefarious activity occurred during the selection process. I know that the Attorney General and I are going to leave no stone unturned during this process.
That's the governor of West Virginia, correct?
That's right. What's Governor Patrick Morrissey.
Patrick Morrissey. Patrick Morrissey's got nothing else to do on a Monday morning.
He's standing up to corruption.
He's standing up to corruption for all the coal miners in West Virginia that are all pissed off that their team got screwed, not by North Carolina, but by St. Francis. I mean, you got to love America, right?
It's simultaneously the best and the worst.
It's just tremendous. Just tremendous. Oh, my goodness. Oh, God almighty. Lord help us. All right, let's get a quick call in here. Little, before the top of the hour. Little, how are you?
Little, are you underwater?
Are you living in a shoebox?
Little,
we can't.
I can't make out anything you're saying, my friend. Yeah, we can't understand anything. Sorry. Let's go to Stevie Ray in Baltimore.
Oh,
what's up, Stevie Ray?
Roll your windows up.
My windows are up. I should be better now. How about now?
Much better.
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I don't want to get thrown off the show, man.
That's all right.
Hey, that's okay. And by the way, before you even said it, I just said, doesn't he have anything else to do? And then you said the same thing right after me. It's just incredible how politicians in this country are going towards the lowest form of what they need in order to get votes. And all he's doing is trying to placate the people who are torqued off and then try to see if he gets votes with that.
Yes.
It's so far what politicians should be doing. It's like, it's disgusting.
I mean, politically, from a currying favor standpoint, to your point, that's exactly what he's doing. You know, he's pleading to his constituents, hey, we're not going to take this lying down.
Oh, yeah, we've heard that before. Hey, listen, I tried to call in the other day, and it was right after John Feinstein's death. And I just wanted to talk to you talk a second about my own experiences with John Feinstein. Would that be okay?
Yeah, just quick.
Okay. There are only two experiences I have with him, and that one I'll end with. But the one is just reading one of his books. I didn't read all his books like you did, but I did read one, which was Caddy for Life.
Mm-hmm.
You read it, I'm sure.
Yep.
Okay.
I have not read all of his books, to be clear. I've read a bunch.
It was the story. It was the story of Bruce Edwards and how he got ALS for Tom Watts, and he was Tom Watts's caddy and all sorts of stuff.
No, I do remember.
It was
that
talking about.
Yep.
Good. And it was talking about different experiences. And this is he had several stories about in there that I found humorous. But the one I found and what I wanted to talk about, just to give an idea of what his writing was like. Watson was playing in Pebble Beach, and he was playing on one of the other courses, not the one on Pebble Beach, but, you know, it was the Bing Crosby Open is what it used to be called. And they're on a par five, and Bruce looks at him, pulls out a two iron, and says, you can put this on the green in two, and we're going to pick up at least. And Watson looked up and said, no, I want to lay up. Give me a seven iron. And Bruce, obviously, according to him, Bruce got pissed off about it. He was not happy that he wasn't taking his advice. He said, man, you can hit the two iron. He said, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And he said he threw the club on the ground. He says, either hit it or carry your own bag. And he walked away. Right. And so Tom Watson picks the club up, hits the two iron, and puts it in the trap in front of the green. He turns around to Bruce, and he says, He said, why'd you make me hit the two iron? And he said, I didn't hit it. He said, you can hit it. You just didn't hit it.
Yeah.
I know you can hit that shot, but you didn't hit it.
Right.
And after that, he always listened to what Bruce was saying. And it was a way of writing that John had that kept you involved in his books.
John took you behind the scenes, like all the 24/7 shows and whatever did before.
Right.
Before those were a thing. Real quickly, because I'm way out of time.
But he was junior. Last thing, I tried to talk to him one day, and he was not very nice to me, and I guess I had to do it. I was wearing a Tony Kornheiser t-shirt.
Well, he liked Tony. All right, listen, real quickly.
Yeah, he did.
Alabama State or St. Francis of Pennsylvania? Pick one.
Well, I got to take St. Francis now.
All right.
And yeah.
San Diego State or North Carolina tomorrow night?
Where's the game?
Dayton.
In Dayton. All right. I got to take Carolina.
All right. There you go. Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Appreciate you, buddy. Appreciate you. 301-230-0980. 2 o'clock in the nation's capital. End of hour number one. Lots more to go. Jim Bowden expected to join us after his trip to Nats camp. Next hour on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.